This episode of Rockcast is brought to you by Rock Partner Missional Marketing, an SEO and advertising services provider. Connect with Missional Marketing today at rockrms.com/partners. Welcome to Rockcast, the podcast dedicated to the rock community. Join us as we dive into behind-the-scenes happenings, offer insights into our community, and explore leadership dynamics. I'm Emily Foreman, and joining me are John Edmiston and Nick Erdo. Welcome to Rockcast. Nick, kick us off. What is going on in terms of our release schedule?
I'd love to. There's never a dull moment. We are now in V16.4 land. Everybody now has access to V16.4, went through its alpha and beta testing. It's got a number of bug fixes in there, and we are working on 16.5, but that's not ready yet.
Okay.
Now, we are also just started V15.5. So for anybody that's still back in the V15 branch of Rock and can't, for some reason, go to 16, we're doing another tiny little patch in V15. So it'll be called V15.5.
Okay.
And it's currently in alpha. It's a quick alpha and a quick beta. And that should be out maybe by the time this podcast is out.
Because as a quick reminder, we don't push back a lot of the issues to 15.
Right.
If there are big issues, we will, but not all issues get pushed back. And, you know, there was some conversation, I think, about that in the community a week or two ago about a major feature and, you know, unsubscribe, automatic unsubscribe, and like, could that be pushed back? And it's like, You can't do that. Pushing back code, taking code from newer releases and pushing it backwards is insanely difficult and causes all kinds of trouble.
Other problems.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you see that in your life. Like, there's a lot of products that people, you know, upgrade, and it's like, oh, I wanted this, and no one does it. And why? Because it's insanely hard. So,
yeah, so even if Rock V16 has features you don't need, it's still good to just push on and upgrade to V16, unless there's some particular reason why you can't, but there shouldn't be. If there is, let us know.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, my experience, a lot of it is because of customizations that have been done, you know, to core, and it's like, it takes a long time to test, and that's true. But that's why we recommend you don't do that. That you stay on as clean as core as possible. And as we work with churches, that's what we do. Like, clean as core as possible.
And we have made a process much easier to request changes from core. So if you do find that you're stuck with some customizations that you're now toting around with you and are making life difficult, you know, let's look at how maybe we can get a few core tweaks in place that will help you have an easy upgrade path so you can stay up to date all the time. So you can check that out on the community page if you fit into that category and you're looking to get rid of some customizations.
Yeah. So continuing on with our theme of best practices, we have a couple we want to talk about today. The first one I want to bring up is ERA. ERA is an amazing tool and asset, and many churches are using it really, really, really well. I would say that for most people, it's really important. I think most churches would say, hey, we want to make sure that we care about our people. I think almost every church would probably agree with that. But how do you care if you're a church of more than like 500, if you don't have things like tools like ERA? So ERA stands for Estimated Regular Attender. And we kind of joke that God knows RA, but we can only estimate that. So we call it ERA. So ERA uses two metrics to determine this: giving and attendance. And usually that's children's attendance. Those are the only really two reliable ways of seeing participation, consistent ways across churches, especially to know that if it's consistent. And so that's what we use. And so there's a recipe for becoming an estimated regular attender. And it's that you've given four times, at least in the last 12 months, or that you've attended eight times in the last 16 weeks. So if you as a family meet those criteria, you become an ERA. We would say then you're a regular attender. And then there's a recipe for becoming not an ERA. And that recipe is a little bit different. It's a little bit broader because we don't want people to be like right on the line flipping in of ERA and out of ERA like every other week. So it's a little bit broader. But what I'd always say too is like, you know, think about that criteria again. You gave, you know, four times in the last 12 months, or you attended six times in the last 16 weeks. So picture the person who does that. Now picture the person who stopped doing that. Is that something of concern?
Yes. Yes.
So why wouldn't you follow up with these folks? And Rock makes it super easy. Like you can just make a workflow that say, hey, when someone exits ERA, send them an email. And the email doesn't say something like, we miss you. You know, don't be accusatory.
We haven't seen you around in a while.
Because there's a lot of situations that could happen that could trigger these things that perhaps are nothing to be worried about. But it's like, hey, Sammy, I'm just checking in. Now, it could be as innocent as their kids went to college and now no longer attend, and now you don't have the check-in data. Guess what? That's still a life event that warrants a check-in. Pretty much anything that causes someone to not be an ERA might mean that they're still regularly attending, but a life event occurred. Perhaps they stopped giving because they lost their job, or maybe they lost their love of giving. They still regularly attend. But again, these are all things that probably need a follow-up. Now, some churches take it much further and they have like calling, you know, campaigns instead of workflow, so that their pastors are calling folks and just checking in. And we've heard some amazing testimonies from pastors who have caught things because of that. I'm thinking of one pastor who said that he literally saved a marriage because when he called, the person on the other side said, yeah, you know, my wife and I are thinking about, you know, separating. And, you know, he met for coffee, and over the course of many, many weeks of meeting and counseling, this couple saved their marriage. And it's easy. It's there. You know, why not use it? You could have it up and running with just an email in an hour or two. It's probably already calculated. It's because it runs, that job runs. So, you know, at least at the very least, go look at it. So there's some churches who are not using it, and I go into their systems and I look to see the numbers, and it's just so encouraging to me to see the impact. So let's talk about the use of as a metric. The church is probably one of the only you know, organization types in the country that doesn't have standardized metrics. You know, what does attendance mean to your church, and what does it mean to the church, you know, down the street? Two totally different measures, right? So we try to make this a standardized measure. So that's why we're very rigid about how it gets calculated, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. So it's there for a reason. I think it's really, really interesting. If we look at when churches tell us what is their average weekend attendance, you know, for their, you know, through their donation, and then you compare it to their ERA number, the ratio is insanely consistent. The only time it's not consistent is when the number is wrong. When the attendance number is like, sometimes you look at attendance numbers like, really? I thought they're a lot bigger than that. And then guaranteed their ERA ratio will kind of say the same thing. Not that we do use it for that, but occasionally I've checked it and I was like, whoa, because we don't have your ERA numbers. We don't, that's your data. But it works. Like it's really interesting to look at the ratios because they're very consistent across church. So we know it works. Now there has been some misunderstanding about ERA because they're like, well, that's not the full picture, you know, for our church. Like we would want to have a more holistic picture of our you know, discipleship paths and journeys. And I would say you're right. That's exactly right. Because ERA is not meant to be the whole custom thing for you. It's like an accounting. You know, there's a lot of measures that Wall Street would use, or that, you know, investment firms would use to try to understand your business. And they're very consistent. Like you don't get creative with that without going to jail. So, but they have to be consistent so that they can measure, right? And so no business would ever say, well, these financial measures that are standard, globally accepted, perfectly paint a picture of our unique business. They would never say that. They have their own internal measures also, right? And so, but some people don't use ERA because it can't be customized, right? They're like, but we have this other class that we really need to be a part of ERA, and you guys don't, you know, you don't have a way to configure it. Yes, and that's intentional, and that's good. But again, go back to the recipe. If people had these behaviors in terms of giving and attendance, and then they stopped, isn't that the value? So I would say, you know, bluntly, if you're not using ERA, you should. And you should make a point right now of saying, not tomorrow, today. Like, at the very least, go write some metrics and figure out how many people are coming in and out of it. And then you can use that to take it to your church leadership and say, hey, you know, like, can we at least send them an email? Like, right?
Yeah.
Just checking in on you. You know, click this button to schedule a meeting with a pastor. And pretty much every email package now has a booking capability, right? So put their booking link in or put a connection request in. Something simple. Like, just do something simple, but do something. Like, it's a shame that these people leave out the back door. I've left, you know, churches to go to a different church, and it always kind of made me feel a little bit badly. Like, no one ever followed up when I stopped. My giving went away. My attendance went away.
And they didn't know.
Or didn't care. I mean,
it feels like didn't care. And in large churches, it may mean just doesn't have a good handle on
you're right.
How data represents people.
But is it possible that by not knowing, you don't care?
Mm.
Because if you have the tool, now maybe you didn't have the tool. Like, this, the church I'm thinking did have the tool. But they didn't care. Because if they cared, they would have put the tool in place. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I think we have to be honest. Like, do we really care? And it's not that you necessarily are running after them to keep them into your church, right? Like, you're not the, you know, get back in the pen. But we have a moral obligation to find them another pen, another ministry. You know, as Christians, like, we care about the lost sheep because Jesus does. He even said so, right? So if not our pen, let's get you into a different pen. And especially when the tool's so stinking easy.
And I think what you've mentioned is really the drop-off of ERA can represent a pain or a concern. And I know you said life event, but a lot of times life events come with confusion or fear or pain or some negative emotion that is difficult to put into perspective, especially without spiritual guidance. And so it really is caring to have that. And it doesn't mean ERA is your only measurement or metric or tool you use, but why have it and not use it?
Yeah, it'd be kind of like going to an accountant or maybe someone on Wall Street and saying, hey, I just need one metric for the whole organization. Like, no.
No.
Like, go read the annual reports. There's a reason why there's all those metrics, because they each give you a bit of a different seasoning as to what the organization is doing. But I think we need more metrics like ERA that are not customizable, so that as we meet with churches, we can start saying, hey, you know, what is your ERA to average weekend attendance number? Oh, wow, yours is actually higher a little bit.
That's like, interesting.
How did you get that? Like, what are you guys doing? I think another good one too, just off the cuff here, is like, if you look at ERA to average weekend attendance to active records, easy to see if your database is clean.
Hmm. Very interesting.
I was looking at a church and they have hardly any inactive records.
Ooh.
And they've been on rock for many years.
Ouch.
So that's it. And it's not that's just saying they don't care about the active record status, right? You know, they, for some reason, they just don't feel the need to inactivate. And to a certain point, there may not be a big reason to inactivate people, but I do think from a searchability, it does really help. But I think that's another interesting metric that I'd actually like to convert to like a standard metric, like an ERA to active. There's lots of stuff we'd like to do. We were just talking about that before the podcast, but there's only so many hours in the day and so many dollars in the bank. So, so ERA, anything else on ERA?
Start it. Start using it.
Yeah, and don't say next quarter. Don't say next year. Don't. Just say which date this week. And do something small. Okay, so the next one I want to talk about, it's a little bit newer. I mean, it's been around for a while, but it's newer in terms of thought, is streaks. Streaks are cool. Like, really cool. There's some churches doing some really cool things with it. So now, the patterns aren't often talked about, though, so I wanted to kind of just plant some seeds here. So streaks are just basically of measuring the predictability or reliability of people doing actions. So a lot of times the streaks might be about, you know, check-in. you know, how many have they missed any weeks or such? And that's really easy to set up inside of Check-In. Like, you can just have it do it for you. Pretty easy. There's also some things you can use. You can configure Streaks to drive off of interactions. So people are doing stuff like on a web page, maybe. For instance, there's a church who's using Streaks on their mobile app to track participation in what they call daily revival. So Summit Church has this daily revival that every day they want people to go in there and you read some stuff, there's some Bible reading, there's like an unreached people group you can pray for, there's some prayer requests that they put in from their prayer system. It's really cool. But they also track it with Streaks. And I was just looking at the Streak data this week out of, you know, curiosity just to measure success of the project. And it's so fascinating to see what's happening in there. And it just unlocks so many ideas like, oh, when this streak broke, we should have, you know, push notified them. And so how do we make it better? And so I think Streaks is something we should really be thinking about as a community, like some really cool ways to use it and then to share those recipes with others. Because sometimes it takes, you know, some people on the cutting edge mm-hmm. to create, think, do, and then inspire through vision. So Streaks, look into it. It's pretty, pretty interesting. I've been running some SQL across them and it's really fast and really, really interesting. So look at that. And the final one, which is even simpler, is age brackets. So we added this concept of age brackets a couple versions ago. I don't remember which version, probably 16, I think.
Hopefully, yeah.
So we've had age obviously for a while, but being able to put people into age brackets actually is really helpful. So as you look at across data, you know, consider adding to your report like the age brackets, and then as you push that into like a, you know, like a tool like Excel or Power BI or Tableau or Domo, you know, name your poison. you know, look at that. I was doing that very similarly with the Streak data, and it really helped see like, well, who's doing this? You know, what age bracket? And again, age bracket is one of those things too. It's like, well, they're not customizable. You're right. And we did that on purpose. You know, A, it's simpler. But B, we try to pick age brackets that, you know, like a lot of marketing firms would use, and it just seemed the right thing. And then if everybody's age brackets kind of are the same, then it's easier for you guys to kind of share yeah. tribal knowledge across things too. So that's not to say that they were right when it came first out of the box. It was very, very close. We kind of lumped all the kids, everybody under like 18. We just kind of said, they're all like under non-adults. We really shouldn't be tracking that. But we were working on a project with the church and they were kind of saying, yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. And they had a really good use case. And so we went and split the younger folks up into, I think, two different age brackets that made a lot of sense. So, use age brackets. They're there for you.
Great. And we have heard from podcast listeners that highlighting some of these features that aren't as used as much yet and don't have maybe as much that you might hear about at the conference or in other areas is really helpful in casting vision and making decisions about some cool things you want to do. So hopefully this is really helpful in considering some of those.
Yeah. Someone on the team mentioned just yesterday that it's unfortunate at the conference, we talk about all the things that are coming. And then when they have arrived, and now you can actually use them. Like, you know, you can forget.
Yeah.
You might go back and rewatch the previous conference and say, okay, which stuff of this, or maybe go back 2 years, because definitely those are all done and there. Like, which of these should I be using right now?
Yep. And speaking of the conference, it is coming and we're getting all geared up on this side, but don't forget to get geared up on your side as well. Big announcement, if you want to stay at the hotel where we have the event, it's 90% booked. So put on your running shoes and get over there. Let's get those rooms booked. If you plan to be there, you otherwise going to be across the parking lot.
So convenient being in the same hotel.
It is. Conference. It's so really nice. It's really nice. That said, there will be space at other hotels too. So you're not going to be left out if you're stuck in like a budget approval process or something. Don't worry. But if you have the ability to book it now and it just hasn't hit your to-do list, you know, you want to find yourself at the same space if possible.
Yeah.
We also have a masterclass before the conference every year, which makes the travel budget more convenient. So for some people taking a little extra time while they're already in the Phoenix area to take that in-person masterclass before the conference is a really great fit. So while we have some seats open for that, it does tend to get pretty full as well. Make sure that you're signing up for that.
And if you come back from taking masterclass and the conference, I mean, you're basically leveled up.
Like, oh, you're set.
Three levels. Yeah. Like, you come back like much smarter.
Well, and with different connections, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the benefits of the in-person masterclass is you really form a kind of cohort of learners. And it's so interesting to see people that have been in the community for a long time that had a group of people they went through masterclass with, and they're still really tight. So it's a great experience. And then between that and what happens at the conference, where you can connect with all the vendors and the sponsors in this space, see what's going on and make connections with others in the community. Maybe you just know their avatar in a chat, but it's just a really great opportunity to power your experience the whole rest of the year.
Yeah, because those connections from Masterclass will just go right into the conference too.
Absolutely. Sure.
But you will learn a lot.
You will, and your brain will be tired.
Yeah, hat size goes up one.
Hat size up one.
Yeah, plus one. But also, you know, we just got this week a chance to just run into the space, and it's been fully remodeled, mm-hmm. and it's very nice. They took out all the color and really polished it up. It looks mm-hmm. really nice. So we're really excited about just the polish that they've added to the space. It's always a nice hotel. But
yes. And the space is a great fit for our event, really, but it's going to look awesome. Cool. Well, a big thank you to our listening audience for tuning in again. And if this is a first or second time for you, haven't yet subscribed, don't forget to subscribe where you get your podcasts so you don't miss out on our next set of announcements and topics. We hope this has been really valuable to you. And if ever you have a concept for a podcast you'd like to share with us, please reach out and let us know. Thanks for joining us.